The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about the gift of impermanence. These last two Saturdays, we've done memorials here for young people who've died suddenly and unexpectedly. People we knew, not expected at all, both in their 30s, really hard for their families and their friends. And south of us, there are these terrible fires that we all know about, whipping through towns and neighborhoods and people barely getting out with their lives. At least 40 people have died, and probably more, and some still missing. And the one thing everybody says is how quickly it came through, how fast it was. People always, they would expect to have some kind of warning, somebody will tell them. And sometimes there was no warning at all, just the fire just whipping through, the smell of smoke, escaped barely with their life, not able to bring anything with them. I've heard that in Chinese, I could be wrong about this, but I've heard that in Chinese, the character for nothing or emptiness is a burning house. Interesting. People having their houses burned for many thousands of years, as long as we've had houses, we've had houses burned down. And people just suddenly lose everything. Suddenly, emptiness, nothing there left, nothing. Hard to imagine, actually, when your whole neighborhood is gone. One moment you're in your house, seemingly safe, and your family is there, and all your nice sofa and chairs and the TV and all that, and suddenly, whoosh, it's gone. You're fleeing for your life. Impermanence. Great Master Dogen says, impermanence is Buddha nature. It can be hard to see this when we're faced with loss. How can impermanence be Buddha nature, when people lose their lives, they die suddenly, or their houses, their life, their livelihood is suddenly whisked away. Impermanence is the flow of life. It's the nature of everything. All things are impermanent. Nothing lasts forever. The flow of life, that great life of which we're all a part. Everything changes. Everything moves constantly. We constantly change, our bodies change, our minds change, our thoughts are zipping through like wildfire sometimes. Even rocks change. The stars and planets are all constantly whizzing around, although they look permanent to us so far away. The flow of life, the great flow of that great life, impermanence. Everything changing, flowing all the time. Nothing to cling on to. And when we try to cling on to any of it, we suffer. Because nothing is ours forever. Nothing lasts forever. Everything changes. The three characteristics, dukkha, anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanence, unsatisfactoriness or suffering, no self. They all work together. They're all Buddha nature in action. They're not just negative things. The three marks of existence, of everything. Everything is marked with impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, no substantial enduring selfness to it at all. Nothing lasts forever. Nothing we can cling on to and say, this is mine and it will make me happy forever. Nothing like that. We're always wanting something. When we get it, you might be happy for a while, but then it's not a new thing anymore. It's an old thing. We're tired of it. We want a new thing. We want another thing. It's not good enough. We want something else. Or we take it for granted. Oh yes, I've got this old thing. I had it for years. Relationships. Nice, new, shiny relationship. And at best, it can become comfortable, and we're used to it. We may start taking the person for granted. And then something suddenly threatens that person. and we realize how precious they are. We lose them all of a sudden, maybe. We lose all our house, our livelihood, or the things we took for granted. And we're deeply grateful for whatever may remain to us. If our family is still alive, we're deeply grateful, even if we've lost everything else. You just see things suddenly in a bigger perspective. Those little things are not so important anymore. Unsatisfactoriness, the second of our three characteristics. Impermanence means unsatisfactoriness because there's nothing that will make us happy forever in this world. No thing or person, because things change and pass away. We can't hold on to anything. There is no safe place in this world. And as we know in our experience, when we're happy, we know it's great, but it won't last forever. We know it's transient. But so is sadness. So is grief. They don't last forever. They change. They get better. They may not go away completely, but they change. No separate self, no thing or person has an unchanging, separate, permanent existence. We all change all the time. We lose people we love, we lose things, as we said. We don't need a great fire to make us a reality. We see the emptiness of things. One moment is something seemingly solid, and suddenly it's gone. That metaphor, that image of the burning house for nothingness, emptiness. It's wonderful, actually. Things that seem so reliable and solid, things you've taken pleasure in, you take for granted maybe, suddenly they're gone. This all sounds pretty depressing, but actually it's not. Because it's a lot better than we think. With us too, actually, we're impermanent. We're also subject to suffering, and we also have no real abiding self. We come and go. We're born, we live, we grow old if we're lucky, and we die. Life is hard, and then you die. You know? One of our monks recently said, this is a good thing, one of our monks said recently, I look at my body, it's growing old. How wonderful. How wonderful. You think, oh, yes. How wonderful. This is exactly how it should be. We're born, we're young, we grow up, we grow older, we get old, and we die. Wonderful. How would it be if you had to last forever? Can you imagine being 2,000 years old? No. It's just fine. It's just fine. It's just the fear and what the mind does with it all that creates the problem. People are so afraid of old age and sickness and death, and there's nothing wrong with them. It's hard to say that to somebody who's got cancer or who's just lost their son, you know. But still, nevertheless, it is so. It's nothing wrong with it, actually. I think I've told a story before of a lady I know whose adult son was felling a tree or was just standing under it. This tree fell on him, killed him right before her eyes. And she sat there with him and she knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything was fine. It was just perfectly fine, and she never forgot it. Can you imagine that happening right before your very eyes? And just that comforting knowledge, it's perfectly okay. The three characteristics, impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, no self, they're liberating. They're not a suffering, they're liberating. And they're the manifestation of Buddha nature. Impermanence is Buddha nature. Unsatisfactoriness and non-self, they point directly to that which is true, fundamental, unborn, undying, unchanging. And as I said, they have their brighter aspects. Impermanence means we can change. Thank goodness, we're not stuck with our old habits of mind and our suffering and our problems and our history and our angst and our miseries and our little bondages. We can change, we can let them go. We have a choice. The old habits that create suffering for us and for other beings, We have a choice. We can relinquish. Our difficulties come and go. Our suffering doesn't last forever, in any case. Hard times come, they pass, things get better. Sometimes they get worse, but they also get better. Our negative states of mind pass away. Our angers and our fears and our sorrows, they all come and go. Nothing stays there forever. Our thoughts constantly coming and going. Our personalities, we change. When we're children, we're very different from what we are now. All these things come and go. Nothing lasts forever. It's liberating. It's liberating because it means there's endless potential for joy, for peace, for relinquishing suffering. Unsatisfactoriness that pervades our lives, actually. It doesn't mean life is all suffering. The Buddha gets horribly misquoted. He didn't say that. He said, in life there is suffering. Not that everything's awful. In life there is suffering. You can't avoid it. It's unavoidable. Largely because of impermanence, because nothing lasts forever. Old age, sickness and death are suffering. They're unpleasant. When we learn to accept them, it's a lot better. They may still be uncomfortable. No one likes to get sick. It's nice to be able to be strong and do things. Then you get old and you can't do them anymore. This may not be comfortable, but there's nothing wrong with it, actually. And when we can do our very best to accept it, the suffering diminishes greatly. How wonderful our aging body. And still we may wish we could do the things we used to do. Still we may wish for health. Still may we wish we had more energy to do this, that, and the other thing. We're human, of course. And yet, even without wishing, there can be a deep, soft acceptance of what comes our way. And when we're old, maybe it's a blessing that we can't do all those dumb things we used to do when we were young. We have to sort of slow down and take a bit more time and maybe get a little sense. You never know. We can't rush from one thing to the next anymore. More time to sit still. There's a blessing there. In all these things, there's positive aspects. Non-self. No separate selfness in anything or anybody. No separate me. This is the best thing of all. It's the absolute best thing of all. There isn't a real me. Because most of my, well, actually probably all my suffering comes from thinking I'm a me. I have to protect this me, to be nice to it, to make it comfortable, to make it happy, to give it what it wants, to keep it alive, to keep it well, and all those things. It's exhausting. And if I could relinquish some of that, what a liberation. Yes, there's a body and a mind. We look like a separate person. We feel like a me. Partly so we can survive, really. But it's not a real me. It's not a fundamental me. It's just a working hypothesis. We're not separate at all. We're actually all just part of one being. And if we can see that, it really helps. We can see that. What affects one person affects everybody. When we're in the presence of somebody who's grief-stricken or really angry, we can't be all happy and joyful as though that wasn't happening, you know. Of course we feel it. With all these people suffering from loss of their houses, of course we feel it. We're really sad for them. We can't just blow it off. And yet we still have to live our life. We still, you know, have a laugh and continue. It's not like we're all cast down in the depths of despair. And yet we still feel it because we're connected. We cannot help being aware of that. We can't just ignore the suffering in the world. But we don't have to drown in it. We have to live. We don't have to live selfishly. We don't have to be quite so concerned with our own fears and desires and wishes, especially when we know this little self-regard, self-partiality, self-concern is just a delusion, really. I don't have to get so worked up about me. Maybe we can hold it all just a little bit more gently. Just being aware of these three characteristics that are liberating. To appreciate the people in our lives for what they are, who they are. Not for what they can do for us, but for who they are in themselves. Let them be as they are, knowing that they're not an unchanging separate entity either. They also change. They're also part of everything. They also are not a separate being, really. We are all part of that one being, that great flow of life. And everybody else is also subject to old age, sickness and death. We can have compassion. All beings have suffering. All beings have sickness. All beings die. We can't deny that, so we can have compassion for beings. To appreciate the beauty around us, knowing it doesn't last. The beauty of the four colours. Autumn is the sort of very symbol of impermanence because it's so fleeting and everything changes from day to day. You can see it more than in the other seasons. And soon the leaves will be all gone and the trees will be bare. Even the evergreens are not always green. They lose their leaves and their needles and so forth. They die. The transience of things is a large part of the beauty of things. If they were the same all the time, we get used to it and you wouldn't even notice. We can be more patient in the light of impermanence, not so concerned about the little worries and the little things that affect us. Considering the bigger picture, everything is fleeting. Everybody is impermanent. We're all part of that one being. To not worry so much about the little inconveniences of our lives. We can be kind, knowing that all beings have suffering. Kind to ourselves as well. When there's an emergency or a disaster, one thing that always comes through is how kind people are, how selfless, generous to people they don't even know, just unthinkingly helping another being. People, like this fire down south, neighbours banging on each other's doors at risk of their own lives to tell them there's a fire, tell them to get out quickly. How wonderful you could remember that kindness and generosity all the time. Always act that way. We're all part of one being. Take care of each other. You know, life has been likened to a burning house, the Buddha said. It's like being in a burning house. Everything's burning. Like everything is quick to come and go, transient. Look at the bigger picture. Not with dismay, but with courage. Not with fear and trembling, but with fearlessness and joy, stepping out into this present moment that just lasts for this fleeting instant. It'll be gone in a minute. And if you could remember to keep things perspective in our daily lives and not get all upset when somebody hurts our feelings or treats us unfairly or does something you don't like or circumstances don't work out the way we'd like them to, if you could just remember, we're just trying to get out of the burning house here, you know, and help other beings. Not in a panic, but with stillness. To remember that impermanence is Buddha nature. There's nothing wrong with it. Then we can be still in the midst of all these conditions of our lives. There's this saying. It's said that it comes from when I think there were monks imprisoned in their temple and enemies were burning down the monastery, and there they were, they sat in their hall because they couldn't get away. Sat still. And somebody said, I don't know how they know this because I think they all burn. It is said, even if there should be a great fire, my heart is calm and safe and filled with angels, filled with goodness. How wonderful to preserve that to dwell within that stillness in the midst of all the conditions of our lives, all the ups and downs, the sorrows, the little things, the big things, the great griefs, the great loss, the small inconveniences, the not getting along with people. All these little things and big things, to sit still in the midst of all those and remember that we are all in this together. None of us gets out alive. To help each other, to have compassion for each other, for all beings, whether we like them or not, all beings are in the same situation, the same burning house, really. And this is the true refuge, you know, the stillness in the midst of all conditions, taking refuge in that which is unborn, undying, unchanging. It's Bodhidharma Day, Bodhidharma's teaching, acceptance of suffering, sitting unmoved, sitting still in the midst of all conditions. He had a lot of problems. He came from India. It said it took 3 years to sail to China. Maybe he didn't really know. You didn't know what he was going to find there. I think he'd been invited. He comes. He has this extremely unsatisfactory interview with the emperor, who didn't understand him and he didn't explain very well. He goes away and sits facing a wall for 9 years until people are ready to hear the Dharma. He never had that many disciples, only a few. People tried to poison him twice. He had enemies because other people didn't like him. You know, other Buddhist teachers, I'm sorry to say, didn't. They saw him as a rival, and so he had enemies. Not easy. Trying to learn Chinese when you come from India, really hard, you know. But just doing his best because he did it for the sake of beings, not for his own aggrandizement. He just wanted to help beings and just knew that was what he should do. And he just did his best with all the conditions that he encountered. Accepting suffering, sitting unmoved, the teaching of nothing, that all is non-self, the emptiness of the ephemeral world, enlightenment proved, leads us to the great matter, knowing our own true nature. Bodhidharma's teaching is just as much for us today. And all the teaching we see around us with bereavement, fire, flood, hurricanes, all the things that have happened, to sit still in the midst of all these conditions, to know that we are at one with all these beings, they are one with us, to offer merit, to know that they are not separate from us, to do our very best with all of it, sitting still within that true refuge. Thank you.